Tuesday, April 24th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. As everyone struggles to make sense of all the information flying around today, from the independent media attempts to show you what's actually going on, to the embarrassingly obvious mainstream media attempts to distract you from that truth with fake events, gossip, conjecture, and petty political rivalries dressed up as news, even the false alt media groups who pretend to have all the answers, yet are put there just in case you wake up enough to see through the mainstream media lies and grab you with promises of inside information and absolute certainty. We need to remember how different the world felt not a decade ago. And to some degree, that's because some of this was simply not recognized by as many people at that point. But mostly, this all truly changed with one specific amendment to the NDAA in 2014, which actually legalized the use of propaganda on the American people. Now, despite myself and many others writing about this many times, most are still unaware that prior to this, the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 made the use of propaganda in the U.S. strictly illegal, although it still happened nonetheless, yet had to be more careful and few and far between. Yet today, the very same manipulative propaganda the U.S. intelligence agencies use overseas is now allowed to be used on you, the American people, for national security, of course. As I pointed out yesterday in regard to the War Powers Act, this amendment to the NDAA in 2014 was sold to the public as an attempt at transparency, yet was the exact opposite. So that news story you saw last night, that could have been completely fake, and that would be 100% legal in the eyes of the U.S. government. So consider that as we move further into this modern world of countering narratives, accusations of fake news, and battling partisan news outlets telling two diametrically opposite stories on the same event. It's not just coincidence that this all intensified right around that time. This was designed to muddy the waters of information and keep you uncertain of who to trust. But I can make that easy for you. Trust none of them, not even me. As I say every show, watch a wide variety of differing perspectives and come to your own conclusions. Now let's get into the news. From the first story of the day, coming from armytimes.com, Army building self-aware squid-like robot that can be 3D printed during combat. The Army Research Laboratory's next robot weapon isn't a new predator drone or even a robot dog like the infamous prototype developed by Boston Labs. Instead, it's a, quote, self-aware robot built from flexible materials inspired by invertebrates like squid. In addition to its advanced machine learning capabilities, the material used to build the robot is so lightweight and malleable that soldiers will be able to print the robots on the battlefield and control them with controllers that send electric currents through the materials. Now, as I always say about these kind of things, I bet you this is something that's been in the works for a very long time, likely been tested already, and we're only first seeing it because it's something they want to slowly bring into our understanding. But the idea of this is just so laughably, they never seem to consider where this is going to go. It's always with the mind of a military outlook and how it can help the military. But as I said in a recent tweet, sure, self-aware squid robots that can be printed in real time, what could possibly go wrong? it's so comical to me to see these kind of things happen where we're continuing to move forward with these ventures and not really taking into consideration what could possibly happen. I mean, we don't like to consider the idea of artificial intelligence and where the world is going. But at this point, it's kind of a certainty. We know that at some point, this is going to happen. And setting this up to be some kind of self-aware machine that can literally print itself in real time seems like a pretty bad idea to me. But it's important to keep track of these kind of things and to understand where modern warfare is going. I mean, clearly you could understand the positive side of this and say, oh, well, it'll lessen the human deaths in this kind of regard. But I would argue that we should stop war efforts in general. But that's just me. But it's interesting to see these move forward, and I think these kind of things, they always scare me personally, but I like to get it out there for you guys to come to your own conclusions and kind of judge whether or not this is a good or a bad thing. But I think I'm always more of the mind of the dystopian sci-fi movie perspective that we're leading down this path and not really learning from things we already kind of see coming in the near future. Moving on to the next story coming from mintpressnews.com. As humanitarian crisis deepens, U.S. refuses to say there are civilians in Gaza. This is just a quick one that I want to touch on and a topic I've covered a lot recently, and that's the extremely brazen humanitarian rights violations of Israel, and in this case, the hypocritical way in which the U.S. skirts all questions which would address that fact. Heather Nauert basically deflects question after question in a recent conference on human rights abuses in Gaza and refuses to say that there are civilians dying in the area, despite this being a verifiable fact. Now, this just shows the apparent hypocrisy of the U.S. and its willingness to ignore the very acts that it uses, stages even, to carry out military efforts on its enemies. Willfully ignoring what is carried out by Saudi Arabia and Israel simply because they are allies. Israel even recently stated that, quote, no one is innocent in Gaza, despite the fact that half of Gaza's population is under the age of 18, many women and young children. Yet I guess in the eyes of Israel and the U.S., they're all terrorists. Moving on to the next story coming from Medium.com, The Guardian is committing journalistic malpractice by not retracting this claim. Another great article written by Caitlin Johnstone, and she really always has her finger on the pulse of the way that they're trying to manipulate you. And I really appreciate that about her writing. On the 19th of April, The Guardian published an article making the positive assertion that two Twitter accounts were run not by real people, but by automated bot software based in Russia. Since the article was published, the owners of both accounts have stepped forward on video, demonstrating in no uncertain terms that they are in fact real human beings and not software programs. This is something I recently touched on yesterday with Nathan's video addressing the very same point, and actually one of the same users discussed in this article. And you could see his face on the video. He's literally talking to them. And even while on the video, they ask him, so are you a Russian bot? It's comical. And yet people are just eating this stuff up. The author of the Guardian article, Heather Stewart, makes the following claim in this article. One bot at EN56789, which was the one in the video yesterday that Nathan was talking about, was sending 100 posts a day during a 12-day period from 7th of April and reached 23 million users before the account was suspended. It focused on claims that the chemical weapons attack on Duma has been falsified using the hashtag false flag. Another one at Partisan Girl reached 61 million users with 2,300 posts over the same 12-day period. Now, as of today, which is days after when this article was written and it was brought to the attention of The Guardian, there's been neither retraction nor correction of the false claims, and the article remains exactly as published. When confronted with the obvious and undeniable falsehoods in her story, Heather Stewart actually tweeted, quote, it's not my analysis, as the piece makes quite clear, it's the government's. And as Caitlin points out, she says, quote, in her article, the fact that mainstream British journalists are now defending the unquestioning advancement of demonstrably false smears by saying that's what the government told them to say should disturb everyone. And the fact that they're not even correcting it at all is positively bone-chilling, even after admitting to being a government stenographer. And there should still be a correction after a claim's demonstrably false narrative comes to light. And I wholeheartedly agree with her. I even love the term stenographer. That's something I say all the time. It's ridiculous to see that she's openly saying, look, well, that's not what I said. The government said that. And it's like, she's failing to realize, as Caitlin addresses in the article, that her very job as a journalist is to challenge these kind of claims by the government. And she just reflexively just kind of regurgitates them out to the public, and then when challenged, she says, oh, well, I didn't say that. You know, it's laughable. It's really laughable, and she should be embarrassed that she's even willing to say that. But this is what journalism has become in the mainstream media. They're no longer really investigative journalists. They're simply just stenographers, as she says. Now, an interesting point to make here is that a lot of our viewers are most likely very familiar with Partisan Girl. She's been around for a long time. She's a very large following on Twitter and YouTube, and she's very demonstrably a real person, talking about real events, giving her real opinion. And, you know, whether or not you want to argue where her motivation comes from or her loyalties lie, the point is she's a very real person. And I personally very much respect her work, but I think it's absolutely ridiculous to see them continue to point this out or to continue spreading this around. I personally have seen this tweet with that information flying all over the place, but yet it's already been clearly demonstrated that they're not Russian bots. The point she makes in this article and the most important takeaway is that regardless of that, and regardless of even the author of the article being made aware that it's not true, it is still very much exactly as it was published, making the same false claims. That's absolutely, I mean, that is bone chilling, as she says. And I think that's very important for people to take away. I think most people watching this are already very aware that The Guardian and other mainstream media outlets are clear propaganda outlets. But this is something important to put in front of those out there that may still be kind of listening to that stuff and show them that, look, they know this is not true, and yet they're continuing to let it go out. That's an important point to make. Moving on to the next story, coming from naturalblaze.com, and one of the positive stories to end with today, California defeats Monsanto in court to list glyphosate as carcinogen. A California appellate court sided with the state of California and Center for Food Safety on Thursday, affirming that Monsanto's glyphosate pesticide can be listed as a known carcinogen under Proposition 65. Proposition 65 requires notification and labeling of all chemicals known to cause cancer, birth defects, or other reproductive harm, and prohibits their discharge into drinking waters of the state. CFS intervened in the case, defending the listing of glyphosate as a carcinogen and the public's right to know when it is being exposed to cancer-causing chemicals. Now, this is fantastic. As much as I've been kind of not aligned with California's politics these days, this is a very positive step to see. And I think it's a good precedent to be setting. I mean, we've already shown many times that it's been verified by many different reputable organizations that glyphosate is very much at least a possible carcinogen, and all the different negative side effects that it causes, despite Monsanto's overzealous effort to fund their own studies to contradict that. But at the end of the day, this is a huge win here, showing them that they're literally using this proposition to label this as a cancer-causing, birth defect, or reproductive harm-causing type of chemical. And it's so great to see this happen, because this is something I think is other states can build on. And Monsanto was recognized as one of the most evil companies in the world, as they're perceived by the American people. And so it really shows you that it's the government and the corporations that are maintaining this use of their chemicals, while the people largely think that it's pretty bad what they're doing, and that you can acknowledge the negative side effects of the chemicals they use. Even understand the history of where the things come from, such as Agent Orange, and how these things are being manipulated and used in modern day, when we know that they were designed as harmful chemicals. Nonetheless, this is a very positive step to see that they're finally putting this down on paper, and we're seeing them actually start to ban this stuff. It makes me very happy. So it's something to spread, get this out there for anyone that still kind of blindly uses these kind of chemicals without understanding what they can actually do. I mean, I see ads for Roundup all over the place. It's important that we begin to understand how bad these things really are for our everyday lives, for our children, for our food that we eat, for every possible use that they have. Moving on to the next story and the final story of the day, and another positive story to end with here, coming from theantimedia.com. A giant crowdfunded machine is about to begin cleaning up the Pacific Garbage Patch. What is known as the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, or more commonly just as Trash Island, something that I've touched on many times recently, even though people continue to reflexively say that it's not true or that there's no proof. It's something that's very recognizable today. And it's an expanse of garbage in the Pacific Ocean that contains as many as 1.8 trillion pieces of plastic and spans 617,763 miles. And as I understand it, there's actually more than one now. Using a device designed by 23-year-old inventor Boyan Slat, who dropped out of an aerospace engineering program in college to focus on developing technology to clean up the world's oceans, the Ocean Cleanup Company, as it's called, will actually employ plastic to suck up much of the waste. As summarized by The Independent, quote, "The cleanup contraption consists of 40-foot pipes, ironically made of plastic, that will be fitted together to form a long snaking tube. Filled with air, they will float on the ocean surface in an arc and have nylon screens hanging down below, forming a giant floating dustpan to catch the plastic rubbish that gathers together when moved by the currents. Though the device cannot trap microplastics, which are already present in the water, Slat believes that acting now can prevent much more severe rates of pollution." Now, it's important to understand that the microplastic we're talking about is a really big deal. And we recently talked about a video showing scuba divers and the way it actually looks underwater out there, where it's just completely littered with plastic and there's things floating everywhere. And microplastics are literally everywhere you look in the water. It's overwhelming to these people. And the kind of videos you don't see very often, because it's not getting talked about. about. But one of these videos actually really went viral, and it was showing you this kind of thing, as well as the videos of fish and whales being cut open and just hundreds of pounds of plastic coming out of their stomachs. I mean, this is a very real problem. So to see this start is something that really made me happy to see. This endeavor is expected to be operational by this summer. So that's confident that the equipment will be able to clean up half of the plastic in the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, 40,000 metric tons, in 5 years. Research conducted by his organization in conjunction with other scientists recently found that the patch was 16 times larger than previously thought, weighing about 80,000 tons, or equivalent to three times the size of France. Think about that. Whether or not this works as well as he had hoped, the point is that he's doing something here. And this all began through a crowdfunding campaign where he was able to raise over $2 million from 38,000 people around the world, and subsequently received over $21 million from larger donors in 2017. The question we should be asking here is, where is the action of our governments? This is an international issue of monumental proportions that has already been shown to have far-reaching and very serious effects on many different aspects of both aquatic and land-based life. The point being that the governments of the world are far too entrenched with the corporations, which are the direct cause of this problem. Fueled by the apathetic view of humanity in regard to such out-of-sight, out-of-mind problems, but a lot of it is conditioned by those only seeking profit at the expense of life on this planet. What this shows us is something that I and many others have been trying to get people to see for a very long time, and that is two things. One, that if we want to actually fix the problems we face today and actually change the world, we need to do it ourselves and not look to the governments to take care of it, because they've clearly shown us that their focus is on their individual careers, which rely entirely on the aforementioned corporate entities as donors, and collectively their focus is on war and corporate profiteering therein. And two, that when people come together, putting aside their differences, we can accomplish anything, even the largest problems facing us today. It really is that simple. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.